Let's open our gospel meeting tonight by singing hymn number 10. There is a Savior and high in the glory, a Savior who suffered on Calvary's tree, a Savior is willing to save now as ever. His arm is almighty, his love great and free. Oh, come now to Jesus, that dear loving Savior. Receive him this moment, and peace shall be thine. I was at the supermarket counter a little while ago, and just behind the counter there are magazines. Some of the magazines are just vile, terrible. But one caught my eye was this. It was Robin Williams. Well, you know what? He was the comedian. And Robin Williams died not too long ago. And on the magazine cover, it says, he could have been saved. Now think of that. He could have been saved. And we're going to say the same thing tonight, that if you're not saved, you could be saved. Why? Because there's a Savior on high in the glory that's wanting and willing to save you. And he wants to save you. So let's sing this hymn. There is a Savior on high in the
Lord.
there's problems in Iraq. There's problems in Afghanistan. Mr. Putin is ready to pounce on Ukraine. The little country of Israel is having all kinds of problems. What about America? I think one of the biggest things is the giving up of God altogether. And that's coming. Apostasy. It's coming. Slowly but surely. And we know that after the Lord comes, it'll be just a total giving up of God. In the apartment that we are to move into in a little while, the folks there wanted an interview with us, and so we came and had this interview with them. And they wanted to know all about us. Now, this home that we are going to was built by the Baptists. It's no longer run by the Baptists. And on the front of the building is this caption: "This building was built to the glory of God." Beautiful. But some of the residents in that building there are bucking up this: take out God. Take out God. The total giving up of God. And I'm going to mention one other thing. The gathered saints. Little by little, the numbers are going down. I believe that it's just going to be a feeble few when the Lord comes to take us home. And how we long for His soon return. How we long for His soon return. You know, I come to the conclusion one thing, and I believe that everyone here would agree with me, that we're just on the threshold of the Lord's coming. He's coming. It's so very, very soon, maybe tonight. And so in the preaching of the gospel, we preach the love of Christ, don't we? The love of Christ, the cross of Christ, on which God's beloved Son was crucified there on Calvary's cross. He was crucified for you and I. He bore our sins in His own body on the tree on that cross when He was alone, forsaken. He shed His precious blood to wash away all our sins. And again I say, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We'll never get to heaven without the blood of Christ. We'll never get to heaven without the work of Christ on Calvary's cross. Never get it. It's all provided, free. The gift of God, as we had this morning, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a giving God. Giving God. And God wants to give and to give and to give. But you know, the tragedy is that many don't want to take. Don't want to take. It's a solemn thing. And so tonight, I want to, because of the wonderful gospel message, I want to give a few verses from the book of Job. And these verses, many of these verses are solemn. Because in the preaching of the gospel, there is the warning. The warning. Because one day it will be too late. The gospel won't go out anymore. You won't have these meetings here. It won't go out anymore. And so there's the danger of still not knowing Christ as your Savior. Is there some young fellers here in this room tonight that don't know the Lord as their Savior? Is it possible that a young man can grow up in a Christian home and go to gospel meeting every day, every Lord's Day, and hear the sound of the gospel, and yet still be a stranger to him, never come? Is it possible? I'm going to say yes. You know why? Because right here. Right here. And thank God he had to deal with me and save me as I got older. The wonderful Savior. I've been gathered to the Lord's name for over 50 years. I've known the Lord Jesus as my Savior for over 60 years. He's never failed me once. He's an all-the-way home Savior. And that's the wonderful person that I'm going to meet shortly. He's coming. Job chapter 36. Job chapter 36, verse 18. Because there is wrath, beware. I'll repeat that again. Because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with his stroke, then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Because there is wrath, beware. And so tonight, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, I'm saying to you, and I believe God is saying the same thing to you, beware, beware. If the Lord was to come in 5 minutes, and you hadn't accepted Christ as your Savior, you'd be lost forever, in a sinner's hell forever. Does God want to send you there? No. Absolutely not. The verse I always like to quote in the gospel meeting is this. It's in Ezekiel 33. I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would turn from his evil way. And then he says, turn ye, for a while will ye die. Turn ye, for a while will ye die. He wants you to come to him tonight. God's time is now. He says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That's the solemn part of the gospel. Beware. The warning of coming judgment. Now I'd like to tell you something wonderful about the gospel. And let's go to Job 34. And verse 14. I'm going to give you a little experience about this verse. I'll tell you that every gospel meeting I've taken in the last few years, I have read this verse. If you can imagine, I love gospel verses, of course. And in our assembly, Bruce Anstey got up. And he was... He turned to this verse, and he looked at me when he was reading this verse as if to say, well, Al, here's a verse for you. And I tell you, I just about leapt out of my seat. An incredible verse. It says, if he set his heart upon man, If he gathered unto himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh would perish together, and man would return to the dust. Now let me quote you from Darby. If he only thought of himself and gathered unto himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh would perish together and man would return to the dust. Now I'm going to ask you this question. Did God think of himself? No. Absolutely not. And that's the joy of this verse. God did not think of himself. Who did he think of? He thought about you. He thought about me. He thought my condition as a guilty, lost sinner. He saw me in all my sin. Almighty love, arrest that man. God did not think of himself. It says he could have gathered his spirit and his breath and man would have perished. Man would have perished. At the cross of Christ, the Lord Jesus had at his disposal 10 legions of angels. I believe that man could have been completely exterminated at the cross for what they did to God's beloved Son. If he gathered unto himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh would perish. All flesh would perish. But now, here's the answer. Where do you go for the answer to this verse? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God didn't think of himself. He thought of you and I. God loved this world. God sent his Son. What a wonderful God. And do you know this wonderful God? Thank you. Thank God he opened my dark heart to see beauty in him. God so loved the world. Let's go to Job chapter 33. Job 33. And I'm going to go down in this chapter and go probably verse by verse, starting at verse 13. Thank you. So thankful for Elihu that spoke to Job. Job was a proud man. It was. The pride of man is lost, is the last thing to give up. Job had to get down. And you know, before you get a blessing in your life, you're going to have to get down. Down the feet of Jesus. That's where the blessing comes from. To get down. The prodigal son could say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. You think of this. There's the prodigal son and the father sees him far off and he's waiting eagerly for him to come. And the son comes to him and says, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight. No more worthy to be called his son. What did the father do? He wrapped his arms around that son. Yes, he did. You think that was good? What did the son smell like? He was in the pigsty. He must have smelled awful. You know, I think the same thing for myself. What did I smell like when I came to the Lord? But yet, he accepted me. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Yes, he does. He received the most vile sinner in this world and save him. Oh, to think of so many of the incredible stories of the grace of God in saving lost souls. It's the grace of God that I am here today. It's the grace of God I am here tonight. And for each one here tonight that knows Jesus as the Savior, it's the grace of God. It's all His grace. We didn't deserve it. We didn't deserve one thing. It's all what He's done there on that cross. You think of that blessed one there hanging on Calvary's cross, there alone, forsaken by a holy, righteous, sin-hating God. And there he was on that cross. The most terrible, terrible suffering that any person could have was the cross. And he bore there on that cross for me. Why was he there? Why was he there? Because he saw me in all my lost condition. That's why he was there. Verse 13. Why dost thou strive against God? Why dost thou strive against him? I'm going to ask you a question. Why are you putting off the question of your soul's salvation? Why are you waiting? What are you waiting for? Everything's been done for you. And yet there are so many that are waiting, waiting, waiting. They go to a gospel meeting, they go home. They go to a gospel meeting, they go home. And still not saved. You see, this is very important tonight because it might be the last one you'll ever hear. The last one. And that's a solemn thing. Because there is wrath, beware lest he take thee away with a stroke and then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see light, but the wrath of God abideth in him. Think of that. The wrath of God abideth on him. It's just as if, okay, here I am. I am the judge. And you are standing there. And you come before the judge. And the judge says, you're guilty. You're guilty. And the sentence is passed. The wrath of God abideth on him. All that's left now is the execution of that judgment. Now that is the precarious position of a lost soul. What a precarious position. Why do you strive against him? He's come to you many, many times and wants to save you. What are you striving against him? Why are you putting it off? Verse 14. For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. Let me read this verse a little bit different. For God speaketh once, yea twice, yea three times, yea four times, yea five times. How many times? Yea six times. Yeah. It's a very solemn thing. God is speaking to you, and God is speaking to this world. Yes, He is. God is speaking to this world. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men and slumberings upon the bed. You ever lay in your bed at night? You know, I enjoy some of those times in bed at night. Sometimes Kathy doesn't know what I'm thinking about. It's nice, those quiet times when you can be with the Lord. I enjoyed this because Kathy and I have been enjoying Job and these verses, these chapters. And so on our flight across the country, I had about 4 hours or so to meditate and to go through these verses. Wonderful. We're never going to get to the bottom of this precious book. It's God's Word. And how wonderful it is that you can just have those quiet times just to meditate. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, in slumberings upon men. Then he opened the ears of men and sealeth their instruction. God is talking to you. Are you listening? I take my hearing aids out so I can talk better. But that's the problem. These ears, they don't hear sometimes. And when God speaks, are you like me, turning the deaf ear? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. My brother-in-law, I probably told you about this before. His name is Wes. He has rejected the gospel for over 50 years. And I'll tell you, for over 50 years, I prayed for my brother-in-law. And still, he's not saved. You know what he is now? He's kind of like a recluse. He lives at home alone. We had to rescue my sister out of that home for her health. He drinks. He hates the gospel. He doesn't want it. He told my sister that I drink because you're a Christian. He's a miserable man, living alone, can't do a thing. He can't drive a car anymore. He can't do anything anymore. He has social workers coming to help him, to bath him, and things like that. He's living alone. And still, he don't know Christ is his Savior. And still, every day, I pray for Wes Hollingshead. And still, he's not saved. What a solemn thing. If Wes Hollingshead went out of this world tonight, still a lost soul, he'll have all eternity to think of all the gospels that he heard and all the news of salvation. and the testimony of his wife. It's a solemn thing. He'll have all eternity to think about that. Very solemn. Oh, friend, tonight, don't put off the question of your salvation. Come tonight. For God speaketh once, yea, twice. Verse 17, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. You know, man would like to go in a certain direction, away from God. What's he say? Withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. Back home in Richmond, we've had the 14th chapter of John in our readings. You know, the first part of the 14th chapter of John, it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, it took us two meetings to go through those first 14 verses. They're beautiful. They come from the heart of the Savior. Philip says to the Lord, he says, how can I know the way? How can I know the way? Ah, Jesus is the way, the only way. Lovingly, he calls us, so the scriptures say, whosoever will, let him come today. The blessed Savior is the only way. Yeah, he said. Dear young boys, dear young girls, are you saved? Are you saved? You know you're in a gospel meeting tonight? You know this is a solemn occasion to think? Are you saved? You have to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 18, he keepeth his soul from going down in the pit. Again, I want to quote that verse in Ezekiel 33. I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. From going down to the pit, I believe that it says here three times in this chapter. Verse 28, he will deliver his soul from going down into the pit. Verse 30, to bring back his soul from the pit. Think of that. What a God. What a God that does not want to send a man to hell. He chasteneth also with pain upon his bed, and the multitude of his bones with strong pain, so that his life abhorreth bread, and his soul dainty meat. His flesh is consumed away that it cannot be seen, and his bones that they had been sticked out. Yea, his soul draweth near unto the grave, and his life unto the destroyers. Now, these verses. If there be a messenger among him, an interpreter, a one among a thousand to show man uprightness. One among a thousand? I just want to say this is one among 10,000. The Lord Jesus Christ. Then he is gracious unto him and said, deliver him from going down into the pit. I have found a ransom. I found a ransom. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. There is a way in which man can be saved tonight. It's through the cross of Christ. It's through the death of Christ. It's through the blood of Christ. The only way to be saved is through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. On it to think that we have a risen Savior. He's not dead. He's not dead. He is alive. That blessed one is now on high in the glory. Alive. A risen Savior. Man would like to think he's dead. No. He's alive. His flesh shall be fresher than a child. He shall return to the days of his youth. Odd, doesn't this remind you of going back to the fifth chapter of 2 Kings? Naaman the Syrian. What happened when he dipped himself three times in the Jordan and he came out and his flesh was the flesh of a child? He had a new life. And you know, if you come to Christ, he'll give you a new life and a new outlook in life. Everything will be new. And then it says, he shall pray unto God, and it will be favor unto him. This is a saved soul, one that prays. But now I want to talk to you about this. We moved out of our suite on Wednesday. And to picture this, we have a huge Catholic church right next door, and our window faces out to the parking lot. And many of the residents of our apartment complex are moving in. They're moving into our suite, and there's a lady upstairs moving in, and they come and they want to move into our apartment because they want to go next door to pray. To pray. To who? To who? There was this sweet little old lady, and she's 92 years old, and she saw that we were moving, and it was a big day for us, and we didn't have a lunch or anything, so she provided us lunch. Just the sweetest little old lady and the lunch that she got was from the where you get free food, eh? The food bank. And she had a chicken there, and she shared it with us. And so we got to talking to her about salvation and about the Lord. But she goes next door to pray to Mary. To Mary. 92 years old. I don't know whether she's saved. You know, it could be life with her. She might have touched the hem of his garment. I don't know. She knows about the Lord Jesus Christ and the cross of Christ. So there's another lady in our coffee circle that we have coffee every Wednesday morning. And Wanda, she's 86, is it? And she's not saved. Wanda, we're going to give you a Bible. Okay. And so Wanda gets this Bible and she takes it upstairs. And about 2 weeks later, she comes down and she says, here, I don't want this. I don't want this. The Word of God. What about eternity? Well, she says, I worry about that. Well, you know, if you know Christ as your Savior, don't have to worry about it. You can calmly face the future when the blood is on the door. We don't have to worry about the future. Our future is all settled in Christ. There's a man that I know that I grew up with. And this man is, he had a great position in the United Church up the street. And he was very important there, and all the things that he did, and he used to tell me what all he did for the church there. And he got prostate cancer. And I went to see him, and we sat on the bed beside him and talked to him about the Lord. I gave him some gospel tracts to read. And as he was talking to me, he said, pretty soon I'm going to go and see the man upstairs. What man upstairs? What is his name? He didn't even know the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a solemn thing to pass out of this world. Well, I was a great church man. And I did all those things in the church. I looked after this, that, and everything else in the church. But were you saved? Did you know Jesus as your Savior? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The wonderful God. I want to look around this room tonight and see, is there a soul here tonight that is still saved and still not saved? God speaketh once, yea, twice. Are you listening to what God says? He wants to save you. A Savior on high in the glory, a Savior who suffered on Calvary's tree. It says, come now to Jesus, that dear loving Savior. God's time is now. God offers salvation full and free to whosoever will. But there is one condition, and that condition is now. Now. Don't put it off for another day. Come now to Jesus, that dear, loving Savior.